Bujun and Dinawe Maganatuk, Minawa, Nuiji.
Robert Horton is from Rainy River First Nations. He lives in Thunder Bay now, where, among other things, he works as an educator, speaker, and activist. His work has recently focused on the matter of missing and murdered Indigenous women in Canada.
There is well over 700. Wow. Names like Carolyn Sinclair, Tanya Jane Nepinek, on and on and on. Jennifer Catchaway, Claudette Osborne, on and on and on. It's one thing to read about it. It's one thing to see images, Facebook statuses, like articles in the newspaper. But when you see firsthand someone you care about with all your heart and soul breaking under the weight of not knowing where their sister or their mother or their niece or granddaughter is, it becomes very real.
The launch and popularity of the Idle No More movement in the last year brought more awareness about the issue. Concerns about the numbers of missing and murdered resulted in a report by the organization Amnesty International. In short, it lays out concerns of Amnesty that Canadian authorities are not doing enough to protect these women or working hard enough to uncover the perpetrators of these crimes and bring them to justice. The story of what's going on in Canada is important to the issue of trafficking on this side of the border because there are many people who believe that the two issues are very much related. Christine Stark is an activist, author, and researcher based in Minneapolis. She's currently working on a study on the sex trafficking of Native women on the Duluth ships.
In essence, what we're talking about is an international prostitution ring. Canada has between 600 and 900 missing Indigenous women over the last 30 years, and they want to know what has happened to these women. I've had families of women who have gone missing in Canada contact me and say, would you please talk with me and tell me what you know about this? Because, again, that connection.
Here's Robert again.
We're now hearing about the connection between Winnipeg, Manitoba, between Thunder Bay, between Duluth and Minnesota. And stories coming out about the connections to places like Southeast Asia, Japan, Brazil, and Thailand, where a number of women came forward and said, you know, that's where some of these boats were going.
Scott Drulo is a police officer at the University of Minnesota in Duluth. During his 17 years in the Duluth Police Department, he said that law enforcement knew of routes, known as tracks, that traffickers would use to move women across Minnesota and Wisconsin and up into Canada, or vice versa.
In the exotic dance clubs, there are certain tracks, you know, that, and that's circuit, you know, that's the word they use as tracks. And a lot of times, if not the clubs themselves, a lot of the people or organizations or whatever associated with those clubs are involved with trafficking. So there's quite a bit of trafficking that goes on at these clubs. There's tracks that go from Minneapolis to Duluth, Superior, Thunder Bay, and then another one that goes from Minneapolis out to St. Cloud, Mankato, Fargo, Grand Forks, Winnipeg, and then another one that goes from Minneapolis across the river to the Hudson area, and then up western Wisconsin up through to Superior is included in some of that too. And the western Wisconsin track is especially notorious during hunting season for trafficking.
In addition to clubs, other businesses and entities play a role as well.
This is a well-networked element in Winnipeg. I mean, it's everything from, there's elements helping it from cabbies to pizzerias.
Something like this does not happen without at least some complicity from some authority figures. I mean, that's an obvious statement. Yeah. But even something that's that obvious, there's a lot of pressure for people to not point that out, to sort of act as if this huge organized prostitution industry in Duluth, Superior, Canada, and elsewhere just sort of happens, you know, underground where nobody really knows about it. But you're looking at brothels in Duluth and Superior. You're looking at taxi cab services, bars as well, hotels. And so really, you've got these business sectors in the Duluth Superior area that were, you know, at least some of them were a part of what was happening on the ships.
So, just who are these traffickers? Well, it depends on where you're at.
In Winnipeg, a number of our sisters on the street have been telling a lot of us it's a lot of Asian gangs are involved.
Right before the security at the ports turned around, there was some Native mob involvement. And then wherever you go, and depending on your victim demographic, outlaw motorcycle gangs, criminal street gangs, vice lords, disciples, Bloods, Crips, Latin Kings, that's all part of how they do business.
But oftentimes, trafficking isn't gang-affiliated, and the criminals involved are probably what a lot of us would consider just regular folks.
Well, typically, from, you know, all other studies that have been done, including Garden of Truth, they're white middle-class men, you know, married. The vast majority of them are married with families.
Activists like Christine and Robert are encouraged by the recent media surge around trafficking and emphasize that the more people there are talking about the issue, the more people there are who are able to spot traffickers and help bring them to justice.
Talk to the people in your family. Talk to your family. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to the people that you run into every day and educate people, because the myths around prostitution, that it's a career choice, that the women love it, that they make a lot of money at it, and so on, they need to be changed. And we do that one-on-one.
To me, silence is culpability. There's a saying from where I come from, Ojane. And that's what you put out will come back to you. And I think we're starting to see that happen.
For the Lake Superior Project, I'm Kelly Schoenfelder. The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the North Shore of Lake Superior. Support for this series comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For more information, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.